Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say.
Good morning, everybody. It is the 28th of September. And welcome to Faith Radio Mornings, where we talk about the important news and topics of the day with trusted voices from around our country. You know, they might have some different angles, but I promise you it'll all come from a Christian perspective. And we'll do so with honesty and with faith and with a real hope that only comes, if you listen to the show, you know that I'll say it only comes that because the tomb is empty and we serve the living King of the only kingdom that knows no end. And I'll tell you what, after watching about 4 to 6 hours of the hearings yesterday of Judge Kavanaugh, as well as Christine Blasey Ford, and what was going on back and forth across the political aisle, I was never more mindful of the fact of how important it is to know that regardless of what happens in our country at any given moment, there is a kingdom that remains. And so grateful for that. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by Logan Rausch and Rachel Sutton, who's running the sound this morning. And we'll roll through the morning, keeping things running smoothly for all of you. And of course, you know the name of Paul Perot in the newsroom, who keeps the stacks of news coming onto my desk, and certainly love to hear from you each morning as well. Please do feel free to call in or text the studio at 877-933-2484. It's fun to hear your thoughts and your questions, your opinions. We'd certainly welcome it from whatever perspective from which you come. And mentioned, obviously, the hearings yesterday, watched quite a bit of that. I know that my news dialogue partner on Friday mornings, Carmen LaBurge, who's the host for Connecting Faith, she joins me each Friday morning, and we'll bring her a little early into the conversation here because there just is so much to cover. And so, Carmen, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning.
Well, thanks.
I'm here, man.
Oh, man. So did you, I understand you watched just a wee bit of these hearings yesterday, too, Carmen.
Well, I felt like it was responsible of me to watch as much of it as possible and certainly to listen to that which I couldn't watch. And I will just say that both people seemed credible, which I recognize as a person who knows that truth cannot mean simultaneously two different things in relationship to the same event. That's a challenging realization to say that both people seem credible.
Well, and that was part of what we heard yesterday. So we'll just take a second, a couple of quick clips, one from each side. Let's start with a question of Christine Blasey Ford relative to how certain she was.
Dr. Ford, with what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
And of course, when she was done with that testimony, and I know I was texting and calling my wife and just saying, you know, she is eminently credible. I just thought it was going to be a disaster for the Republican side of it. There's even people saying the same thing because she was so credible. He had a hard time not believing her. And then after the recess, Judge Kavanaugh stepped into the studio and he started with a pretty full fronted attack on the Democrats. And then after that, he talked about the impact this had on his family and what he's done with his kids.
Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers. And little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, we should pray for the woman. It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old.
And I just threw up my hands at this point, Carmen. I didn't know what to do or how to believe or what the situation was here. So I'm sure you're watching some of this, too. How did you sort through your very good question of what do we do when it seems eminently credible on both sides?
Well, I think that we as Christians, we continue to say to ourselves and to other people, the truth matters, and knowing what is true in terms of that which accords with reality matters. And so you can't disprove that something happened if there's no evidence other than the witness testimony of another individual that it did happen. And so I think that part of what I would encourage people to do is think through other situations where we have people for whom we've been praying. I'm thinking here of like Andrew Brunson. Like we've been praying for him, and he is facing accusations that to some people seem absolutely credible, and yet he is facing those in a context where he cannot disprove what other people are saying about him. And so I think that part of what helps, Peter, is for us to not put all of the weight or pressure on the particular conversation related to Brett Kavanaugh. and Christine Blasey Ford, but to actually expand the conversation and say, okay, in some other context, in any other situation that was not quite as politically polarized, where we had not already lined up on a particular side, not based on where is the truth, what's the actual truth, but based on something else, which is what I think is going on here. I think what's happening is people have already predetermined, prejudged, decided in advance who they're for or who they're with. Not really necessarily concerned about what the actual truth is.
It's Carmen LeBurge, the host of Connecting Faith. Carmen, we'll take a short break. When we come back, I would love to get into the conversation around what it means to be in a situation where maybe even yesterday what we saw was not necessarily truth being sought at all, but it was purely political theater and the implications we have to experience and to expect based on that moving forward in our country. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and joined in the line by Carmen LeBurge of Connecting Faith, who you know her voice. She is the host of our midday program that airs each day on Faith Radio Mornings and does such a great job of connecting the news headlines to our faith as believers. Carmen, lots to get to in this confirmation hearing process yesterday. It really was riveting television. And I think at the end of the day, one could safely say it's pretty tough to suggest that they were actually after the truth in this situation. There was a lot of optics going on. There was a lot of posturing and positioning. How did you see it from both sides?
So I think that really at issue are the votes of four individuals on the Senate, currently serving on the Senate. And that's ultimately the question that is going to be answered probably in the next 48 hours. So people need to keep that in mind, that there's a confirmation process that results in the vote on the Senate floor. And those are the 100 votes that ultimately matter. And of those 100 votes, there's really only four in play. And those four senators, Jeff Flake, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Joe Manchin, went into a closed-door meeting with each other following yesterday's events.
Well, and what I saw yesterday as well is that former President George W. Bush has stepped into the situation as well, and that he has been contacting these senators because they don't have a great relationship with the current President Trump, and he's trying to sway them for their vote. And there's apparently going to be a vote in about 2 or 3 hours here from the Judiciary Committee whether he should go through, and then from there we'll see the full vote.
Right. I think there's no question that he's going to come out of the meeting this morning, which will happen at 9:30 Eastern time. I think there's no question that he's going to be recommended out of committee for confirmation. I actually think there's no question that he's going to get an upvote, positive vote by the full Senate. I think people may be really surprised how yesterday's tactics backfire against the Democrats. I think there might actually be a couple of Democrats who break ranks. I think it's very likely that Brett Kavanaugh is going to be a Supreme Court justice, associate justice, by Monday when the Supreme Court opens its next session. Maybe the larger issue is the court of public opinion. And that's really those are really the votes that were that people were looking to get yesterday, at least in my view. I felt like there was a lot of political posturing on the part of probably both parties. I felt like it was pretty overwhelming in terms of those Democrats who I think we will see running for president, running for the Democratic nomination in 2020. And I think that's pretty much what was going on yesterday in that hearing.
Well, it sure was fascinating to watch because I couldn't get away from that same perception, Carmen, that a lot of this was about posturing for the future and about for the presidency. But Lindsey Graham got pretty fiery at one point. And again, I couldn't take my eyes off the TV at this moment in which he was suggesting that this really was all political theater and the Democrats were exploiting the situation in order to ruin somebody's life.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You said that, not me.
And that was really the prevailing theory, is that the reason why there's sort of this seemingly sanctimonious call for an FBI investigation among the Democrats, you know, to try to get to the truth. And yet they had said that their own strategy involved delaying as much as possible to perhaps get past the midterms, maybe be able to get into a lame duck session, control the Senate, and then win the seat in 2020. That was their own admission. And it was fascinating how angry Graham was when he was calling that out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think rightly so. I think that one of the conversations that, you know, Christians could have today if they wanted to would be that about of righteous anger. We saw some righteous anger yesterday. If you are, in fact, falsely accused, if you are maligned, if your good name is not only dragged through the mud, but probably forever marred, you know, if you've had to explain to your children that daddy did not do what he is being publicly accused of doing, and the things that you're going to hear about him, you know, aren't true. If you have to go there, you are righteous. You arrive at a place of righteous anger. And I think as Christians, how we deal with that, how we process that, how we allow the righteously angry to be publicly angry. I do think that one of the questions that will linger after this, after the events yesterday, is whether or not this process has actually resulted in pushing an individual to the point where being an impartial judge is now going to be pretty challenging. Mm-hmm. It would be very difficult. It will take a very unique individual to move from this experience into a genuinely politically impartial position as a Supreme Court justice. I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm saying that that would take me some soul work between yesterday and Monday, if indeed Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed and sworn in as the next Associate Justice of the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
that would be the way I'd be praying for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. I had the same thoughts, Carmen, that as much as it was understandable the way Judge Kavanaugh was responding to these accusations, I also wondered, you know, he's sort of revealing some political leanings here that before we haven't really seen much out of Supreme Court justices that have wanted to kind of stay out of the fray. So it is going to be fascinating moving forward. It just feels like this started with the Democrats maybe invoking the nuclear option and allowing 51 senators to confirm a Supreme Court justice. Then the Republicans blocked Merrick Garland, and now it just seems like it's getting more vicious. Hard to see what's going to happen from here. We need a lot of prayer for our country. We'll take a short break. Carmen, when we come back, we can continue this conversation. We can also get into further topics of the day, including some pretty good news and interesting news out of the millennial generation that is tending to stay married more for longer. The divorce rates are down among millennials, but on the flip side, millennials are not getting married as often either. So we can get into a lot of conversation with Carmen LeBurge next on Faith Radio Mornings. Twenty minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, joined in the program by Carmen LeBurge. Carmen, we have a couple of comments from listeners, a caller as well, a text into the studio writing, listening to the hearings yesterday had me praying Psalm 34, specifically verses 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And then verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Boy, wouldn't it be something if there was somebody who sort of stepped up into the middle of all of this and went a different direction seeking peace.
Absolutely. I had somebody text me yesterday a proverb about, you know, the importance of a good name, and that they were just simply, you know, praying for the guarding, you know, of a good name. And I think that's part of the challenge that we face. I think that everybody woke up this morning, Peter, and probably even though we find each party credible in our heart of hearts, we believe one party or the other. And whether or not our beliefs line up with the facts of a matter, with reality, I mean, you and I both know we live in a culture where people believe all kinds of things and people believe nothing at all. And so belief does not necessarily line up with the truth or the facts of a matter anymore. And so, I think we have to be sensitive to that today, that there are going to be people who we are going to encounter, maybe in our own homes, who believe something different after yesterday's hearings than we believe, even if all of us find both people credible. That may be, and yesterday may be sort of defining evidence of postmodern reality in a post-truth culture. We all suddenly think the truth matters, but how we arrive at it and what we think it is actually different than that which accords with reality. That's a challenging place for us to be as a culture.
It's so important, what the conversation. Peace doesn't necessarily mean the absence of conflict or the difference of opinion, but it does have to do with how we approach that with one another. Carmen, I know we have Cynthia on the line from Buffalo, Minnesota. Great town, wonderful lake out there. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good morning. I'm sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What has happened, but I also know that our God is able, and mm-hmm. both of these individuals and their families, their spirits have been gutted by this, and we really need to lift them both up in prayer in our Senate, this country. You know, these are just human beings, and just because you're in the Senate or just because you hold high office doesn't mean you're made of stone or that things can bounce off of you. And I've just been, I'm almost at a loss for words. I've just been so hurt in my own soul that this is happening in my country and that this is happening to these people. But I know that healing can come, and I believe that in the long run, there's going to be restoration.
Yeah, it's such, you know, Carmen, what a great point. Cynthia, thanks for calling from Buffalo, Minnesota on that. And I think you expressed very articulately what so many of us feel in terms of just the troubled spirit around both sides, that at the end of the day, we really are, Carmen, talking about image bearers on both sides. And boy, when that image starts getting marred and wrecked in these ways, it's really troubling to watch.
Absolutely. Cynthia, I absolutely resonate. I think sadness is the best description of the way I feel as well. I am sad for the individuals involved. I am very sad for their families. I'm sad for our system. I'm sad for our democracy. I'm sad for our public witness. You know, Peter, if democracy and our particular form of democracy is in fact what God hopes we're exporting to the rest of the world, because democracy is, you know, the best system through which people can live in freedom, and freedom is the best opportunity we have for the advance of the gospel. Then what happened yesterday is a really devastating public witness in terms of the way decent people function in an orderly way to discover the truth and get to life. That's not what happened yesterday. And so I'm with Cynthia. There's a sadness. I'm also with Cynthia in that we not only believe in, but we know a great God. And we worship a God who is redemptive by nature. And so I too am holding out hope that we are going to, after moving through a season of great difficulty, because I don't think we're through it. I think we're moving into a season of great difficulty in which the truth will be reestablished as the way. And in order to reestablish the truth, we have to deal with all of the untruth in our culture. And yeah. So I'm with Cynthia in terms of praying, and that being the primary calling of the Christian today.
Well, and it sure is going to be important and interesting to watch moving forward and to be praying in these situations. I did find it compelling, again, when Judge Kavanaugh opened up his statement with talking about we are going to end up reaping what we sow here. And that is always the way of things, isn't it, Carmen, that our decisions in the present aren't just static decisions that go away. They really do scatter some kind of seed into the future. And sometimes that seed is beautiful and lovely and sometimes not so much. And I think we're seeing some of that right now.
So that's actually the conversation that we had at our dinner table last night, was the reaping what you sow conversation. And then also the walk off at the very end, the very last question Brett Kavanaugh was asked, he was asked to swear to God. And he, you know, with deadpan seriousness, you know, he swore to God that this never happened. And so I do think that we can have conversations with our kids about what's happening in the culture, and we can do so in a way that does not involve the salacious accusations, but actually, you know, deals with things like, well, what are you sowing in high school and in college that you are going to reap later in life? That those are real conversations we're having with our kids. And the other very real conversation is, you know, this is not just about swearing before one another that we're telling the truth. For Christians, this is always about, you know, swearing that we're telling the truth before God. And he ultimately is the judge. And, you know, and the only vote that matters, both eternally and here and now. So I think those are good conversations for people to prepare to have today.
Really important. Carmen LaBerge, we are out of time for this morning in terms of getting into the conversation around marriage statistics among millennials. But I'd be curious, what do you have coming up on your program here later today?
I've actually got Nancy Piercy from Houston Baptist University. She wrote, she's written lots of books on truth. She's also written books on human sexuality. She and I are going to talk about not only the Kavanaugh decision, but about sex robots and sex robot brothels in Houston. I know. It's total clickbait.
I know. But, you know, Carmen, I saw some of that in the headlines, and that is part of where we're headed. And this, again, I think we can fairly say is part of we reap what we sow when we begin to break all kinds of boundaries, maybe even 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. These become the natural byproducts and effects of that.
Well, right. And if we don't know who we are as human beings, then we certainly don't know why we would be coupled together. And we don't know then why our bodies would function the way they do. So we're going to have all those conversations. It should be really interesting.
Well, thanks for joining me and helping me sort through all of these different headlines and conversations from a Christian perspective. Have a great show this afternoon, Carmen.
Thanks. Love it.
We'll take a break for Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News. And when we come back for the second half of this hour, I'll be joined by my Friday talk partner, Gary Stratton, who is a doctor of spiritual formation and worldview at Johnson University. And we're going to talk about the difference between knowing God and knowing about God. So great rest of this hour to come yet on Faith Radio Mornings. Appreciate the phone call from Cynthia during my dialogue with Carmen LaBurge here just previously when she was talking about the importance of prayer. And Cynthia sent a follow-up thought that the idea that what is meant for evil in this world, God can always turn back for good. I really appreciate that. It's an incredibly important biblical concept that the evil of the moment is never the end of the story. Evil can be understood from the biblical text as something that stands in the way of God's ever-unfolding goodness. And God does remove that evil, and he does bring back to his intention. It is the story of redemption and hope we see all throughout the text and in our lives. And that's what we as believers can pray for in the situation in our country. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, I was joined by Jim Bilby, who's a professor of Christian theology, and he was getting into some discussion with us about why we struggle to really think about the role of the Holy Spirit.
Part of our problem with the Holy Spirit is we have less concrete imagery for the concept of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, we have a concept of Father, we have a concept of Son, right? Holy Spirit, what is that? Wind, breath, fire, right? So some of this is we just have a little bit of a hard time wrapping our head around the Spirit, and so then we ignore. And of course, that's the problem. I think it's crucial that we integrate our conversation about the Spirit into all the different aspects of our theological conversation. So the Spirit doesn't just show up on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is around in creation. The Spirit is around in inscripturation and inspiration of Scripture. The Spirit is around in wooing people's hearts, drawing them into relationship with Christ, in convicting, right? There's really the Holy Spirit needs to be talked about throughout the entire theological corpus.
Great conversation on the Trinity and the role of the Holy Spirit yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings. You can go to myfaithradio.com and you can check out that entire segment from Jim Bilby, who's a professor of Christian theology. You can also hit our Facebook page at Faith Radio Mornings. It'll direct you to the different links to listen to some of these great guests that are on each morning. Well, I see that Dr. Gary Stratton is on the line already, and we'll talk a bit about the difference between knowing God and knowing about God. And I'll have to ask Gary, too, his perspective on Hamilton, since I did see that last night with my wife and sister-in-law and brother, and it was quite a performance. Gary spent a lot of years in Hollywood, so I want to get his take on the cultural phenomenon that is Hamilton next on Faith Radio Mornings.
For many American Christians, an entitlement mentality of spiritual rights has become part of our modern thinking. This is Jim Garlow. We enjoy our spiritual blessings, that is, our rights, but not much time is spent emphasizing our duty. One indispensable spiritual duty every Christian has is the duty to share with others your testimony, the good news of what Jesus Christ has personally done for you. Jesus once told a man, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." Luke 9:39 tells us that that man told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. That's what every Christian should do. Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Jesus speaks up for us as we speak up for him. There's more at jimgarlow.com to equip you in this precarious moment in the history of the church. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
So don't you dare look back, just keep your eyes on me.
And that's the great music chosen by Dr. Gary Stratton, who is a professor of worldview and spiritual formation. And Gary, I love listening to that music. It wakes me up in the morning, reminds me of your great story that you went through a season in life where you just needed those voices of confusion and anxiety to shut up and enter into the Trinitarian dance. So love having you on the program, Gary. Good morning.
Oh, I love being with you, Peter. Good morning.
So Hallie and I, my wife, we saw Hamilton last night, and I know that you have worked in Hollywood for a number of years doing some mentoring of Christian scriptwriters and different kinds of ideas and themes they can draw out on TV shows and movies. And so you're a watcher of some of these cultural phenomenons. What's been your take on sort of this explosion of Hamilton over the last maybe year and a half or so?
It has been remarkable to watch. Now, I got to confess, I have never seen Hamilton other than going and seeing the statue of Hamilton in Central Park. So I can't speak directly to the play itself except for the phenomenon of it. Somehow, it captures something out of our history that connects with us deeply today, and I'm not completely sure what it is. What do you think it is after watching it?
Well, it was fascinating to watch, I will say that. I think the idea that certainly that there's like a little shift in terms of who's portraying some of the characters. Obviously, when you have African-American actors and vocalists playing some of these historic characters, that really grabs people's attention. But it's way bigger than that, Gary, because that wouldn't have staying power if it was only that. I think there's a music element. There's a thematic element in there that I know in my family, we've been going back and forth. Will this one stand the test of time, like maybe a Les Miserables or a Phantom of the Opera? And that remains to be seen, of course. But I'll tell you what, the music was solid last night for me. I know that other people love it, but the choreography was off the hook.
Well, that is what Broadway's all about.
It is indeed. So we've got lots to get into this morning. I know you texted me yesterday about the difference between knowing God and knowing about God. And that little word in there, about, really does make a fundamental difference in how we walk out our lives as believers. So when you texted me that phrase, Gary, what were you trying to sort of get at or play to in the difference between knowing God and knowing about God?
Well, I think it's mostly, I think all the way back when I first read J.I. Packer's Knowing God back, oh my gosh, before the earth's crust cooled, he really brought out this exact phrase. I mean, it's from his book, It's Possible to Know a Great Deal About God Without Knowing God Himself. And seeing how often that is true in the academy, sometimes even in the Christian academy, people have just huge brains full of all sorts of knowledge about God, but just not much personal connection with him. And the thing we always promise brand new believers in high school, you know, come to Jesus, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. And yet so often we settle for a very impersonal relationship with God.
Well, and I think to your point on that, I know we spend a lot of time in the university, in the academy, as you mentioned, that we get into concepts about God. We might talk about different ways people have thought about God, but it really isn't actually meant to be a place in which people engage with God. And that could be confusing because these are often the voices of authority that are representing the kingdom. And yet within the classroom, it becomes mostly conversation about God as opposed to an invitation into life with God.
No, and I think sometimes that leaks into the church as well, that we end up doing talking a lot about, you know, about God or about following God's principles or following God's word. Those are all important things. I'm not minimizing those. But actually moving beyond that into an actual apprehension of God himself is something that we've gotten less good at, I think, in the modern world. I mean, I think we get less good every single year because it's just easy for us to work in this world of what you can see, what you can touch, what you can taste, what you can feel. And God is normally not present to our physical senses, so we tend to discount knowing him.
Well, and to that end as well, what's the importance of thinking about God rightly in terms of maybe doctrine and dogma? We don't want to just discount that at all. I know that my friend Jim Bilby, who's on the program every Thursday, he'll say something to the effect of, we have to understand some of the concepts about God rightly. God is not a ham sandwich, for example. You can't just say whatever you want about God and have it be right. So before getting into that sort of mysterious interaction, relational reality with God, what is the importance of really thinking rightly about who this God is?
Well, I love something that A.W. Tozer said. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And I really believe that that's true, that our conceptions of God, whether they're constrained by the imagination of Scripture or something wildly beyond the imagination of Scripture, there's sometimes we go beyond Scripture and we're looking for something that's really more like the Force from watching Star Wars movies. where we're settling for something much less than what's described in Scripture, kind of dragging Scripture down to our level of experience. But in the end, we don't really have much of an objective standard except say, what is the experience of the people of God in Scripture, and how do they come to know God in this way, and then how can I follow that same path to know people,
well, and
to
I think
know the God of the universe?
Yeah, and to read the Scripture rightly and not just read into Scripture what you think is already there. I know we are dealing with that very famous verse, John 3:16, in my classroom yesterday. And in terms of the motivations of God sending his son, we really circled around the idea of it was love that motivated. And it wasn't necessarily a sense of that God had to glorify himself in sending his son, although we could talk about that concept. But to stay within the text and think rightly about God, what did it mean that God was so for us that he sacrificed everything? And we just circle around the concept of love and not go any further than that, because that really helps in how we think about God.
No, it really does, and yet we need to move beyond that. I'm doing a study in the book of Ephesians right now, and just, you know, you think about who Paul's writing to in the book of Ephesus. These people have experienced arguably the greatest revival described in all of Scripture, that through Paul's ministry in Ephesus, the Scripture says all the Jews and all the Greeks and all the Roman province of Asia have heard the word of the Lord. I mean, this is a powerful move of God. I mean, there's nothing like it ever described any place else in Scripture. And yet, Paul's writing the Ephesians saying, okay, now that you've been rooted and grounded in God's love, I'm praying that God would open up the eyes of your heart so you could, beyond that, you could grasp how high and wide and deep and long is the love of God, and know this love that surpasses knowledge. That no matter how much we've encountered God, seen him move powerfully in public settings, that there's always something more to know about God's love.
Well, and to that end, that really becomes what our invitation is to, even in some of those famous verses like, be still and know that I am God. It isn't necessarily a knowledge of the mind. It isn't a knowledge that we try to capture in our American symbols and alphabets to try to explain things. It really is sort of this intimate knowledge of God. And Gary, I'd be curious, as we come back from break, and we'll have some extended time on this, what your thoughts are about how we can enter into a relational reality with God that is true and authentic, that is, yes, it's mysterious, but at the same time, it really captures our heart in the way that you beautifully described from Ephesians. So we'll talk with Gary Stratton more about knowing God as opposed to knowing about God next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 11 minutes before the top of the hour, and I'm joined on the line by Gary Stratton, who talks a lot with me on Fridays around spiritual formation, worldview, how we think about God, how we think about our faith moving forward. And Gary, boy, you brought such an important passage from Ephesians into our chat back and forth this morning in terms of there is a love of God that really surpasses and escapes all knowledge. And if we really sit with that invitation for a bit, there's an experiential dimension of our life with God that we're called to all throughout the biblical text. How do we begin to move, as Christians often say, from just the head knowledge and into the heart, and our love for God really begins to grow?
Well, I always talk about my students, I like acrostics to help remember things, that it's kind of like a video. I need a vision that this is even possible. I need to study Scripture, the experience of people of Scripture, church history, the globalization of church, the way people encounter God around the world. That builds my faith so that I can actually have not just a vision but an intention that I want to know God like this, and to take that intention and turn it into some practical spiritual disciplines of prayer, of biblical meditation. And then that leads to these small encounters with God, these times where I think that was God moving, I prayed something, I think I saw him move, I think I might have been led by him to talk to that person, and then just obstinance, Angela Duckworth calls grit, that Jacob, I will not let you go until you bless me. So vision, intention, discipline, encounter, and obstinance, video. I mean, that's what it takes to really make progress on this journey.
And with that in mind, do you suggest to people to just say, hey, sit with God, get into some silence, get into some solitude, really learn to hear that still small voice? Because when you do, there really is a peacefulness, there really is a stillness that comes that invites us into deeper relationship with him.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Now, sometimes that's not the best path for some people. There's some people it's very much a path of activism, just praying for very specific things and then see what God answers. And, you know, there's always the ability to say, oh, that was just a coincidence. And yet, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, it said, all I know is the more I pray, the more coincidences I see. to start to test out, I think I sensed something from God. Is that, you know, was that him or not? I don't know. I 2 weeks ago, I was sitting on my back porch, and just kind of out of the blue, God told me I needed to contact somebody that I had only met once, hadn't seen in 7 years. I thought they were dying of cancer he thought I was dying of cancer. And I said, okay, Lord, I will look out for this person. And a week later, I was in a completely different town, and I just bump into this person. And we had this profound time of prayer that was really directed to the Lord. And I know that if I'd not been looking for him, I wouldn't have said a word, and it wouldn't have been such a profound time. So sometimes it's just having the faith to act on something when I think I'm being led by God's Spirit, and it's not inconsistent with God's Word.
Well, and I think that's the point, and I know it's certainly one of the conversations that comes up in almost every one of my classes is how do we know when it's God's voice that's speaking and not another voice, maybe a opinion that we have. Gary, I think many of us are the offspring or the children of the Protestant Reformation that was mostly geared around who was right theologically on a number of levels, and again, that's an important conversation. But when you go back into the book of Acts, yes, that kind of talk was going back and forth in the church around theology, but more importantly, you actually read the book, and people are being directed by the Spirit all day long as they're following Jesus. And so what does it mean to hear God's voice? How can we trust it? What does that sound like?
Well, I mean, there certainly are examples in Scripture of people encountering God's voice in an overwhelming sense. And those sorts of overwhelming things seem to be very much tied to salvation history and these great big moments. But there's lots of examples of God simply directing people. I mean, just Philip just being told by the Spirit, go stand beside this road. I mean, just like, I don't know how he knew it was the Spirit. I doubt it was a big booming voice. He just went and stood beside the road, and sure enough, the Ethiopian eunuch happens to come by reading from the book of Isaiah, and he's able to lead him to the Lord. And sometimes it's just being willing to take those risks, to do those small things, to see if this is God in direction. And then much more importantly, I think, is that waiting to hear from him of his affirmation and his love for us. If Jesus, who is fully God, never sinned, at the beginning of his ministry, needed his heavenly Father to affirm him, to say out of the heavens, you are my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased, then how much more do we need to have the default mode of our soul be, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Well, and I think some of that, at least for my own journey, has required a humility to suggest that maybe I don't just automatically have a pipeline to heaven because I have fancy letters after my name or something like that. It's never about the fancy letters. It's never about how well-schooled you are. It really does, as you have said, Gary, relate to humility, love, desire, some of those kinds of things in which God begins to speak.
Yeah, a few years ago, I happened to sit down on an airplane next to William Alston, who is one of the most famous philosophers of the 20th century. And he told me the story of him. His wife was a Christian. He had wanted nothing to do with it. One day he went with her to church on a holiday, and his wife introduced Bill to the pastor, saying, oh, he teaches at the University of Syracuse. And he's like, oh, you should teach a Sunday school class for him. Well, he was had, so he agreed to do it. And what he always did with his students is have them write on a 3x5 card their names and all those interesting things about him. And they always ask a question. And on the back, he asked the question, he had them write the question, have you ever had an experience with God? He thought maybe one or two weirdos in the class would do it. Instead, everybody in the class talked about how they'd encountered and experienced God in various ways in their daily life, whether it was a reassurance of his love or a public direction. And William Austin said, suddenly sitting there reading their stories, I realized I've had encounters with God and have completely discounted them because of my scientific worldview. And that led him on a journey that eventually led him to faith and writing one of the most influential books in philosophy of religion of the 20th century, Perceiving God. So I think sometimes you just need to be aware that for those of us who live most of our life out of our left brain or very bright and intellectual, sometimes the things we know becomes the actual barrier to knowing God at a more deep and intimate and somewhat mystical level.
Yeah, it's a great story. Gary, I'd be curious too. We've got just a little bit more than a minute left. What you would say in terms of how we sometimes play this out in churches, knowing God and hearing God's voice. Sometimes we think that really is the purview of the pastor, and we think, well, he or she are the ones that hear from God, but the common layperson doesn't necessarily. How does a church navigate this? Because the Spirit speaking to us is not beholden to whether or not somebody has a pastoral office.
No, it's not. Of course, the church history is just full of examples of very, quote-unquote, simple saints. I'm just reading D.L. Moody's story the other day, who knew God well and recognized their pastor didn't know God well and just prayed for him. D.L. Moody was actually really annoyed that three women in his church kept praying for him to really come to know God. And then when he finally did encounter God's love in a profound way that changed his life and changed his ministry, he looked back and realized it was my arrogance that kept me from listening to the simple saints.
Well, it's such an incredible invitation. Gary, are there places that our listeners can go to interact with you more on this topic if they want to hear a bit more about what it might mean to hear God's voice in their life and can explore this further?
Sure. I've got a website, GaryDavidStratton.com or 200Warriors.com, whichever you prefer. Or just hit me up on Twitter, Gary D. Stratton, and I'd love to chat more.
Well, I love having your voice on the program, Gary. It always goes too fast. There's so much to talk about that I think is just helpful for us as people of faith trying to navigate this tricky world in which we live. So thanks for coming on every Friday morning here on Faith Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Peter. God bless you, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. We'll take a short break, and we'll wrap up the first hour of our show with some more comments about Hamilton next. And, of course, that's some of the music from Hamilton. And Gary and I referenced that I saw it last night. The music is still rolling through my head. If you've seen it, I'm sure that happens to you for the next 48, 72 hours. Mostly referencing that because it's making Logan and Rachel jealous in studio here as Logan is throwing things at me. It was a delightful performance. I think there's lots that you can talk about coming out of that. If you've seen that, you can talk about different themes and threads with your family and with your friends. So if you can get there, I highly recommend it. Well, we've got a great next hour of the show. I know Adam Holtz is going to be on. We're going to talk about some of the movies that are coming out. And then I'll be joined by national news commentator Cal Thomas, and he will give us some of his reflections on the Kavanaugh hearing. So great next hour ahead on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.